بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today we look at the detailed commentary upon the statement of Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala, in which he discusses how a believer views himself and how he views other believers in terms of hoping for them and fearing for them. So the statement that we looked at in the previous lesson, نَرْجُو لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ, that we have hope for those who do good amongst the believers, that Allah, that He pardons them. وَيُدْخِلَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِهِ, and that He enters them into paradise on account of His mercy. وَلَا نَأْمَنُ عَلِيهِمْ, but we do not feel secure for them. وَلَا نَشْهَدُ لَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ, nor do we testify for them paradise. وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ لِمُسِيئِهِمْ وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا نُقَنِّطُهُمْ, and we seek forgiveness for the sinful ones amongst them. We fear for them, but we do not cause them to despair. So, in these sentences, what we find here is a way or a method by which a believing man and a believing woman, he knows how to behave with respect to himself. Now, he knows how to behave, how to deal with respect to himself and the various situations he finds himself in of obedience and disobedience. And likewise, how he behaves with respect to other believers, his believing brothers and sisters. So the way of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah is that the one who is a righteous person, the one who does good, they hope for him, they hope for Allah's forgiveness for him, and they hope that Allah enters him into paradise. And as for the sinful person, then they have fear for that individual. And this principle that is adopted by Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah is a principle in which they oppose two groups of people. One group of people who they exaggerate and they cause Muslims to despair. In other words, to despair of the mercy of Allah. And on the other side, the people who feel secure and safe, these are the people of negligence, and they are the ones who, they feel a sense of security for themselves and for their faith and for their iman, in that they don't fear, the rejection of their actions and nor punishment for their sins. So on the one hand, we have those who cause others to despair of Allah's mercy, and those, on the other hand, who instill a certain type of security and safety, a feeling of security in the hearts of the people that is not actually warranted or it's not correct. So this principle of Ahlul Sunnah that Al-Tahawi is mentioning here is to distinguish ourselves between these two groups of people. Now, there's a principle here which is, what is the principle upon which this is based? What is the foundation upon which this position of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah is based? It is upon the following. Firstly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that Allah has made a promise, He's made a wa'ad. He's made a promise to the believing slave. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never breaks His promise. Never breaks His promise, because Allah's promise is always fulfilled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise to the believer who dies upon ikhlas, who dies upon sincerity. Allah has promised that He will pardon and forgive that individual and that He will enter him into paradise. As Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Indeed, the mercy of Allah is close to the people who do good. Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse number 56. Okay, so we find that this is a matter established in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes a promise to His believing servants, and we know that Allah never ever breaks His promise. At the same time, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made a threat to those who disobey Him, and a threat to those who oppose His command and who follow their desires. Now, as for His threat, then His threat can sometimes be implemented and fulfilled, and meaning that even though Allah has made the threat, then sometimes it may be fulfilled. It can be fulfilled, though it is not always fulfilled. And this we shall look at later on. What are some of the reasons that prevent the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being fulfilled? But at this stage, the point that we are making is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a threat, and that threat can sometimes be implemented. So because it is the case that Allah has stated that His threat is over the sinful and disobedient person, then this is the basis for khawf. This is the basis for fear. Just like the wa'ad, the promise that we mentioned earlier on, that is the basis for hope. That is the basis for hope. So, therefore, we now have a number of situations. We have different types of people. We have those who are the people of righteous deeds, the people of goodness, from the people of Iman. They are the Muhsinin, Al-Muhsinun. They are the people who do righteousness and good. And amongst them are those who are the Musi'un, those who do evil. And then amongst them are those who mix good deeds with evil deeds. So sometimes his evil deeds overwhelm him, sometimes his good deeds overwhelm him. He has a mixture of the two, and he's mixing good with evil. So the people of Iman, there are three categories. Those who are overwhelmingly good deeds, those who are overwhelmingly evil deeds, those who mix a bit of this and a bit of that. So therefore, how we behave towards each of these people, how do we behave towards each of these people? As for the Muhsin, the one who is a righteous person, the one who does good deeds, we hope for that individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters into him into paradise by way of His mercy. Why do we have this hope? We have this hope because we know of Allah's promise, Allah made a wa'ad, that the righteous people, that His mercy is close to them, meaning, which obviously implies entry into paradise. So therefore, we hope for the righteous people that they enter into paradise by way of Allah's mercy. And as for those who are sinful, then we fear for them. We fear for them that Allah's threat might fall upon them. So therefore, because of this fear that we have for them, we seek forgiveness for them. We ask Allah to forgive them. And at the same time, we do not make them despair of Allah's mercy. We don't say that you are such an evil, nasty, vile person, you will never be forgiven, you are condemned. We don't say that. Rather, we give them, you know, keep the doors of repentance and the door of hope open for them, so that they turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they fear Him, and they turn back to Allah with hope, and also with fear firstly, and then also hope of being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sentence that we just read from Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala, it is founded upon this principle that we are mentioning here, which is that Allah makes a promise and never breaks His promise. Allah makes a threat, and that threat might be implemented or it might not be implemented. And this then forms the basis of our position towards ourselves and towards other people. To ourselves, when we, you know, are sinful or obedient, and to other people when we see them as being sinful or obedient. And so therefore we have the respective hope for them and the respective fear for them. And all of this opposes the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila on the one hand, whom, as we said, they declare Muslims to be disbelievers on account of sins that they've fallen into. And on the other hand, the people like the Sufiya, the extremists among the Sufiya and other than them, who fall into the Irja, those who have a sense of safety and security and don't fear, and don't fear for their deeds. And they take a very lax and easy approach to the commandments and prohibitions and so on and so forth. So, the point from all of this is just a brief explanation on all of this, is that we act upon the promise of Allah. It has an implication. We act upon that implication. That implication is that we hope that Allah enters the believers, righteous people, into paradise. And likewise, we act upon what the threat of Allah necessitates from us, in that we fear for ourselves and we fear for the evil, the people who fall into evil. And we combine these two things together. And we have a balanced approach in regards to the threat and the promise. So for example, we don't open up the door of the promise absolutely, and nor do we close the door, nor do we say that the threat of Allah is going to be implemented absolutely, right? So there's a balance in those two issues. The door of hope and the door of Allah's promise is open for the one who brings the reasons and the causes for Allah's promise to be implemented, right? It's not just a matter of hoping for Allah's promise to be given. Rather, there are reasons and causes that lead to that. And on the other hand, we do not claim that Allah's threat is definitely going to be executed. Rather, there are reasons and causes why Allah's threat of punishment will be removed and can be removed. And so, in other words, we have this qualified approach. These things are not absolute. Rather, they are qualified by the things which have just been mentioned. And the detail of that will be discussed in a short while, inshallah ta'ala. So, this is a general introduction, a general explanation of these sentences from Imam Tahawi. Now let's go into some of the detailed points. So the first point is that when we speak of hope, we speak of hope when we say that we hope for the one who does good, that he is pardoned. This includes the following things. Number one, there's a number of things. Number one, that we have hope for the one who does good, and we, at the same time, we don't feel secure about ourselves, and we seek forgiveness for the evil person. We have fear for that person, and this is a way that a person behaves with respect to himself, and that a person behaves with respect to his believing brothers and sisters. So, when he does an evil deed, it harms him, it hurts him, and when he does a good deed, it pleases him. And when he does good deeds, he hopes for his own soul. He has hope for his own soul. And, he hopes that Allah will enter him into paradise by the mercy of Allah. Not by his own good deeds, but by the mercy of Allah. And he does not feel secure. Like, he doesn't have aman. He doesn't feel that now he's in a place of safety because he's done so many good deeds that now he can feel secure. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn his heart and turn him to misguidance. So, the point being here that it is not his own actions that will enter him into paradise. Rather, it is the pure mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why all of these feelings and states are justified. Right? Because if a man felt secure that his deeds in and of themselves are going to enter him into paradise, then this would lead to him feeling secure about himself, feeling safe, not being fearful of Allah, So the point that we are making here is that a believer when he does a righteous deed, it pleases him. When he does an evil deed, it displeases him. And when he does a good deed, he hopes that by way of that Allah will enter him into paradise. And when he does an evil deed, you know, he makes tawbah, makes istighfar. So the point from all of this is that it is not his action in and of itself that will enter him into paradise. Rather, it is the pure mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the pure mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So believer doesn't think that just by bringing his righteous action that paradise is necessitated for him. Rather, he's always in between hope and fear, hoping that his good deed will be accepted, and fearing for the punishment of Allah for his disobedience. But at the same time, he does not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alongside his fear. So this is how a believer is with respect to himself. Likewise, when with respect to the other believing men and women, a person who dies upon iman, then we hope for that person that Allah forgives him and enters him into paradise. And whoever dies from the people of sin, then we ask Allah to forgive him. And while we fear for him, at the same time, we do not despair that Allah's mercy will actually reach him. So this is an approach that we have towards ourselves and towards other believing men and women. The second point that we make here that needs to be made is that when we speak of this hope, and we say hope for those who do good from amongst the believing men and women, this includes every single person. Until, let's say there was a person for whom we didn't even know he had any sinful deeds. Person who had no sinful deeds. Even that person must have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the one without any evil deeds. And we see that the proof of this is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, he asked him, he told him that when you come to the end of your salah, end of your prayer, then make the following dua. And he told him to make the following dua. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathiran wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant faghfirli fa innaka antal ghafurur rahim. So the supplication is, O Allah, I have oppressed and wronged myself with an abundant of wrongfulness, wrongdoing, and no one forgives the sins except for you. So forgive me, for indeed you are al-ghafur, the forgiving, ar-rahim, the merciful. So look here, he said to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and he is known to be the muhsin, the one who does a great deal of good amongst the believers, and he has many lofty stations, praiseworthy things which we know about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and yet at the same time, alongside all of that goodness, and he hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him and enters into paradise, and he doesn't have this aman. This aman meaning this feeling secure about oneself and feeling, safe about oneself, as if a person has made it to paradise already. No. And so when this is the case with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, then how much more so for the people who are not in the same rank? Because remember, the people of iman are in three ranks. Those who are the foremost in good deeds. The one who is foremost in good deeds. The one who is sabiqun bil khairat. The one who is foremost in good deeds. And then there are those who are the people of iqtisad. Those who are muqtasid. Those who are in between. Those who do the obligations and keep away from the prohibitions. They are the middle group. And those who are the sabiqun, who are the foremost, they do the right, they do the wajibat, and they do the mustahabbat. And they keep away from that which is haram, and they keep away from that which is makruh. They are the foremost in good deeds. And then you have those who do that which is wajib, and keep away from that which is haram. And then you have the third level, those who are the people of sin, who wrong themselves. So now, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, no doubt, he is from the first category and the highest of those who are from the first category from the Muslim Ummah after the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so when this is the case with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, then how about those people who are less than him, those who are less than them? Then no doubt it is more befitting that those people don't feel secure and safe with respect to themselves and think as if they now have, you know, been guaranteed paradise and start becoming lax. No. So a believer still hopes in Allah's forgiveness and mercy, and this is how he behaves. This is the second point that we take from this passage. The third point that we take from this is something that we discussed in the previous lesson, is that the combination of hope and fear is a great and mighty principle. Is a great and mighty principle. And in our worship, we combine between hope and fear. And this is what has been commanded in the Sharia texts. So what is the fear which is praiseworthy? The fear which is praiseworthy is, first of all, the type of fear that carries an individual to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing that which he has been commanded and keeping away from that which he has been prohibited. This is the khawf, which is the praiseworthy khawf. This is the fear which is praiseworthy. Because it's not just any fear that you just fear. That fear is something specific. What is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is intended and which is praiseworthy? It is the fear that carries a person to the obedience of Allah by doing that which he commanded and keeping away from that which he prohibited. And as for the blameworthy fear, what is the blameworthy fear? The blameworthy fear is the fear that leads a person to despair of Allah's mercy. This is the blameworthy type of fear. This is not the type of fear that a person should have. As Ibrahim alayhi salam said, قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ. And who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who are astray? So, the type of fear that we are speaking of here is very specific. It's the type of fear, the type of fear which is praiseworthy, is the one that leads you to obedience to Allah, do what he commanded, keep away from what he prohibited. And as for the type of fear which is blameworthy, is a type of fear that leads you to despair of Allah's mercy. So therefore we see that this fear here is not the fear of the khawarij that makes you despair of Allah's mercy. And nor is it a fear that's an empty fear that doesn't lead to obedience. Rather, it leads you to obedience. That's the type of fear that there is intended. So, what does this lead to? This type of fear then, the praiseworthy fear that we're mentioning, it leads to number one, doing that which Allah commanded and keeping away from that which he prohibited. And number two, it's a type of fear that when he does his righteous action, he doesn't feel that his righteous action in itself has the effect. Why? Because the effect ultimately comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's mercy, pure Allah's mercy, on account of which he will enter paradise. Even though the righteous deed in and of itself is actually a sabab and a means, but he doesn't see it to be as the absolute independent means. Rather, it is Allah's mercy and Allah's pardon that will allow him to enter into paradise. So the point that we're making is that this fear, which is praiseworthy, it combines all of these things. How do you know that the fear a person is having of Allah is the right praiseworthy fear? Well, it leads him to obedience, does that which is commanded, keeps it from that which is prohibited. At the same time, he doesn't see that his action in and of itself that he's doing by way of the fear of Allah, that in itself has any effect independently. Rather, it is Allah's mercy that will enter him into paradise. So, This then is the combination between hope and fear. In the Quran, we see Allah combines between these two. We mentioned some of the verses in the previous lesson. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. We see here Allah mentioning about the angels. Allah says they fear their Lord, they fear their Lord from above them, and they do that which they have been commanded. Combination between the fear and doing that which they've been commanded, right? It's brought together. See the link between the two in this ayah. Surah Nahl, Surah 16, verse number 50. And in another ayah, Allah says, Allah commands, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not fear them, but fear me if indeed you are believers. This is the command to have the khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayah, Allah says, يَا عِبَادِ فَاتَّقُونَ. O slaves of Allah, have taqwa, have fear of me, have taqwa of Allah, have taqwa. Surah Zumar, Surah 39, verse number 16. Surah 39, verse 16. The previous ayah that I mentioned was Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 175. And likewise, Allah describes His believing servants, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. Indeed, they used to rush towards the good deeds and would invoke us with hope and with fear, combining hope and fear. Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah 21, verse number 90. So, khawf, we are discussing fear here, by the way. This fear that we're discussing is an act of worship, which is great and mighty. Worship itself cannot be upright without it. And iman itself cannot be upright except with iman. So a person who is devoid of iman, who is devoid of khawf, he's completely devoid of the fear of Allah, then this person does not have any iman. Why? Because khawf is, a person's iman cannot be right except with khawf. So a person who absolutely has no fear, then this person can never be a believer. Why? Because not having any khawf, this person has an absolute feeling of safety and security about himself. Right? He's not fearing absolutely anything. There's no khawf. And this type of aman, when you have this aman just means a type of security and safety that you feel that you have. This is something that expels you from the fold of Islam. Meaning complete aman, where you're completely safe and secure without any khawf at all, fundamentally, right? This is something that is completely clashes with iman, because iman cannot be except with something of khawf. And this is what we find with many of the kuffar. They don't fear anything because they don't believe in a paradise and hellfire. They don't believe in a punishment, and so they have this aman. They have this complete safety and security with respect to them. So a believer can never ever have this, absence of khawf absolutely. So all of this is connected to our discussion of al-khawf. Next is ar-raja, which is hope. So the hope, what is this hope? We've just defined fear, now we are defining the hope, the specific hope. The hope is when a person has a hope that leads him, by which what he desires becomes fulfilled. Right? Hope is a feeling, a hope by way of which what he desires will be fulfilled. That he wants that which he desires to be fulfilled. And that hope is something that leads him to that. And that's why, and now this is actually a crucial thing now for us to understand about hope. That's why the scholars have said that the true hope, the true raja, is only when a number of things are combined together. Right? So pay attention, this is very crucial. That the hope that we are speaking of here is something when the following three things come together. First of all, there must be an underlying love of the thing which he is hoping for. The thing that which he is hoping for. So for example, a person, he hopes to enter into paradise. Therefore, there must be a love of paradise. There must be a love of paradise. And obviously, a love of that paradise only comes with knowledge of what is in that paradise. Right? So first of all, the hope requires love of what one hopes for, what he's hoping for. This is the first thing that must be present. The second thing is that he must have a fear of that which will cut off his hope. There must be a fear, there must be a type of fear from that which will cut off his hope and him realizing or achieving the thing which he is hoping for. The thing which he is hoping for. And of course, this is the sins. He fears his sins. He fears from kufr. He fears disbelief. He fears from hypocrisy. These are the things that will cut off his hope, that will prevent him from realizing the thing that he is hoping for. And the third thing that must be present is the righteous deeds. Right? So the hope cannot be just hope in and of itself. They must be accompanied with righteous deeds. Why? Because the righteous deeds are a means. They are a sabab. They are a means that will help to fulfill the thing which he is hoping for, which is paradise. So therefore, the one who abandons the ways and the means, the one who we see he hopes in Allah for paradise, but we don't see any righteous deeds. We don't see him fearing the sins that will cut off his hope. Then this person cannot truly to be said one who is hoping. The one who is, you know, hoping. This is not the true raja. And for that reason, we understand the distinction between what we call ar-raja, which is hope, and between al-amani. Al-amani means wishful thinking, that you just hope and crave for something, but all it is just wishful thinking. You imagine these ideas in your mind, that you have paradise, you win paradise, that you want paradise, and all of these are just wishful thinking, and it's not to be treated the same as ar-raja. Why? Because ar-raja, there are a number of components to ar-raja, as we've just mentioned. Number one, there is the love of the thing which a person hopes in. And a person might love. No doubt a person loves the thing that he hopes to receive, that he hopes for. But at the same time, there is khawf. He fears sin or kufr or nifaq that will prevent from his hope from being realized. And thirdly, there must be the action, which is the ways and the means, that the sabab. That is part and parcel of him achieving his hope. So when we have ar-raja, but there is no khawf, and there is no amal, there's no fear and there's no amal, this then is amani, it is not ar-raja. It is just merely wishful thinking, craving for something and wishful thinking, but there's no khawf and there's no amal alongside that either. So this is ar-raja. This is the reality of ar-raja, and also the reality of fear that we mentioned. What is the reality of fear? We mentioned that as well. So it's crucial for us to understand what is the reality of khawf and what is the reality of ar-raja. And we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. It is not on account of your wishes, and nor the wishes of the people of the book. And whoever does an evil, then he will be recompensed for it. In other words, meaning that Allah speaking here, that it is not by way of just your wishes and your cravings that you have. Rather, a person who does evil, he will be recompensed for that. The point being, the point that is being mentioned here is that a believer should be one who is raji, one who hopes along the lines that we mentioned, not a person who is just a wishful thinker, a one who just craves and wishes for things, but he doesn't bring the things that will help to fulfill or for him to realize the thing which he is hoping for. So this is the third issue. The third issue that we were discussing was the combination between ar-raja and khawf, that they come together, and that what is the reality of khawf, what is the reality of ar-raja. This was the third point that we discussed. The fourth point that we are going to discuss is the issue of fear and hope. Should they be equivalent? Should they be the same? Should they be exactly the same? Or does one of them overwhelm the other one? So there are a number of views. There are four views altogether. The first view is that the element of fear should overwhelm the element of hope. The element of fear should overwhelm and be greater than the element of hope. Absolutely. And the other view is that the element of hope, the aspect of hope, should overwhelm the aspect of fear. And the third view is that the two elements should be equal. His fear and his hope should be equal. And then there is a fourth statement, which is the statement of tafsil. And what this statement says is that in some scenarios, it is fear that overwhelms, and in other scenarios, it is hope that overwhelms, and in yet other scenarios, they are equal. The hope and the fear is equivalent. Now, no doubt the correct statement and the correct position is the fourth one. The fourth one is the position of tafsil. Now, what are those different scenarios then? What are the scenarios in which each of these would apply? So the answer to this question is, that when a person is in health and goodness, he has siha, he has salama, and in this kind of situation, he should have the fear that overwhelms him. The fear that overwhelms him. Why? Because, and this is the case with the majority of the people, because nobody is free of sin. Nobody is free of sin. And having the element of fear in a state of health and fitness and safety, this is something that carries him to adhere to obedience and to abandon sins. And as for when hope should be the majority situation, when hope should overwhelm, this is when he is in a state of disease, when he's ill. And, you know, so the Messenger, he said, لَا يَمُتْ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنِّ بِرَبِّهِ, that none of you should die except whilst he has a good hope, a good expectation, a good thought about his Lord. And of course, this is implying hope, having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have another hadith in which the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ذَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي فَلْيَظُنْ بِي مَا شَاءَ. I am to my servant, in the way that the servant thinks of me. So let him think of me with whatever he wills. Meaning that if the servant has a good dhan, a good opinion, a good thought, then this is how I will be towards my servant. So this indicates that when a person is ill or in a type of illness for which it is feared that he might die, in that situation, the feeling of hope over what, this is the majority feeling that a person should have. He should have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's get this right. We said that in a normal scenario where you are fit and healthy, you know, your fear is what should overwhelm you. And in a situation where there is illness or perhaps closeness to death, then it is hope in Allah's mercy that overwhelms you. And then in all other situations, which is when you are involved in an ibadah, so when you now embark upon an actual act of worship, then in that act of worship, this is when you combine between the two. You combine between the hope in Allah's mercy and the fear of Allah's punishment, meaning in individual instances of the act of worship. So to understand this correctly, what we are saying, what the Shaykh has explained, is that in a state of health and fitness and safety, the general overwhelming position is that your fear should dominate the hope. And that fear obviously leads you to make ibadah of Allah, to stick to Allah's obedience. And then when you embark upon actual acts of obedience that you've been led to by the overwhelming fear of Allah, then in those acts of obedience, you combine fear and hope. So here now, they are equal in the actual act of ibadah. So you're standing for salah, you're giving an act of charity, you know, zakah, whatever. Then the fear and hope is combined in the act of worship. Otherwise, the general state is fear overwhelms the hope. And then in a state of illness, sickness, or an illness and sickness that is, you know, maybe indicates you are close to death, in that time, the hope overwhelms the fear, and you hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, the Shaykh says, this is the position of that which is correct, because it is the most detailed position. And there are some other views, obviously, that we mentioned earlier on, and they bring their relevant proofs as well. So, but that which is correct is the tafsil, the detail is that which is correct. So this now brings us to an end of our lesson. This is the fourth point. We have a number of other points as well, another two, three points, inshallah ta'ala. We will discuss them and complete them in the next lesson. But with that, we conclude today's lesson at this point. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Thank you.